kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone?
One of them's you.
Oh, shit. All right.
Oops. Every time.
Yeah, well, you know.
Every time.
Yeah.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me this episode is CJ. CJ, how are you?
I'm feeling pretty interruptive today, I think.
Interruptive?
Yeah. That's a feeling.
Yeah, I guess.
When you interrupt people.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
Yeah, the intro definitely didn't show that.
Who says I kept that?
Who says you didn't?
I just realized I never grabbed a drink, so I'm going to reach behind me and reach over here and grab a
goddamn
Crystal Pepsi, and now I have a drink.
What the fuck? That noise when you were reaching back, like,
I'm fat.
It was just funny because it kept getting further away because you have an actual desktop mic.
Yeah, you need one of them.
Yeah, I do. You enjoy my buzz?
Oh, God, yeah, tons of it. It's a friggin' bee in my headset.
I hate them things. Don't even mention them.
So we have a handful of reviews to take care of today, and then we are going to have an interview with Andrew Hoyle of Badland Games, finally getting to that interview. Good chat. Good chat. Good stuff.
Was it a good chat?
Good chat. Good chat. Good chit-chat. Chitty chitty chat chat. Before all that, though, have you seen the news?
The news? I think I know what you're talking about, but proceed.
Rockstar Games tweeted out their logo on a red background.
Yep, definitely. Most people are assuming that's going to be Red Dead 2.
Yeah, well, technically Red Dead 3.
What?
Red Dead Revolver and then Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, but was Red Dead Revolver, did it have anything to do with Red Dead Redemption?
I don't know. But did, you know, half of the Grand Theft Auto games have anything to do with the others?
Yeah, but I didn't even think Red Dead Revolver was actually made by Rockstar. I thought that was just a completely different, like, game.
No, it's Rockstar.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, most people don't.
Oh. Oh, okay.
And there is an Easter egg to Revolver in Redemption.
Is it a revolver?
No, it's just like the equipment of one of the characters in a rundown building.
That's not as cool as perhaps like actually having a revolver. It's just like Red Dead is the name of it, and it's a revolver. That'd be cool.
But yeah, if you look at the image, it very much looks, it has that weathered look that Red Dead Redemption has. With, like, the darker color patches, and it just, the fact that they're tweeting out something red, I think it's time. It's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it would be about time. I didn't actually like Red Dead Redemption when I had played it.
You're a dumb bitch.
Well, I mean, maybe if I gave it another chance. It has been a few years, but I don't know. I didn't find it fun.
Well, it is playable on the Xbox One.
It is. It's also been much more expensive because of that.
True.
Even though I think it's actually on sale, like, now.
It might be.
I think because they were doing a whole, like, backwards compatible sale this week.
Yeah, it's, depending on when this episode releases, it might still be going on. I don't know if I'm releasing this Monday or Tuesday, so we'll find out.
Well, if it's Monday, then it's still going on. If it's Tuesday, sorry.
You missed the fuck out. Yeah, there's so many games on sale, too.
I want to get World at War again, because that was, like, one of the actually good Call of Duties, but it's like, I have no money.
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption is $19.49 right now. Good year. Good year.
That's still pretty expensive, but what is that, like, $10 off?
Yeah. It's
normally, like, $29.99.
I think Best Buy had the Game of the Year edition on sale for, like, $14.99 or something like that.
Well, that's the way to go, because then you get the zombie one, which people liked, and then the other one, which I don't think was actually that great. But
yeah, the hell
more like just not as popular because it didn't zombies.
Yeah. What's going on with your connection? Like, you completely dropped out.
I guess it's just the connection to the call was bad.
You piece of shit.
I don't know. Nobody's downloading, so, I mean...
Or maybe you're just mumbling too far away from the microphone.
I can't do that. It's a headset.
So?
It's close.
But,
I can't,
but if,
like,
you start mumbling and...
I wasn't mumbling, though. I think just the call was fucking up. Skype's kind of shitty. You're the one that likes Skype. I mean, I don't mind Skype either. It's... killing me here.
Yeah, good stuff on that sale though. Red Dead, Deus Ex, XCOM: Enemy Within, Mirror's Edge, Dungeon Siege 3, which I loved. A lot of people hate that one.
Gears of War season passes for the older ones.
Yeah,
they're actually on sale. Yeah, I want to get the third season pass because it's the only one that I really think I'd actually play.
It's only $10 instead of $30.
I know, but I'm so poor.
And then, quite possibly, the final chance, the original Forza Horizon is $5 right now. Before it gets delisted.
I think this is like the final week.
Probably.
Yeah. Unless they do end of October, but that might be put on sale this week.
Guess we'll see. And then the new round of games with gold titles are live as well. The Escapists and I Am Alive are both free right now.
I already grabbed I Am Alive. I was like, I need to play that. I need to get on my Xbox One for The Escapist. Because the fucking website sucks with redeeming an Xbox One game. But 360.
Yeah, I've never had problems with it. Maybe because you're 12 and you don't have a payment option on file?
Actually, I do. Thank you very much, because I'm 18 and I actually have my own stuff. Thank you very much. And I also have my dad's stuff. Thank you very much.
I have my dad's.
And that wouldn't be a problem for Xbox One stuff. I have a friend that refuses to give his information to Microsoft because for some reason, even though he plays an Xbox all the time, he thinks that he's still like paranoid about putting his information to Microsoft.
Please,
so,
please tell me he also has a PlayStation but has his information on there.
No, he doesn't even own a PlayStation. But
because those are my favorite people.
Steam. He doesn't do it with Steam either.
So he's just generally paranoid.
Yeah, he only buys cards with money on the card, and then it's like a prepaid card. Yeah. But he can grab Xbox One games with gold. He just can't get the 360 because you have to have a credit card.
Yeah.
So,
Well, what are you gonna do?
Mine is just fucked up on the website. Like, when I go to redeem an Xbox One game, the fucking screen to press confirm is above the fucking, like, the top bar. Like, you can't see it.
Have you tried using a different browser?
No. Firefox is the only good one. And the only other one I have is Microsoft Edge, which is fucking stupid.
Why don't you try Chrome?
Because Chrome fucking blows, and they put a bunch of extra shit on your computer that I don't want, and they monitor your shit. And it's just, I don't want that shit. I don't like Chrome.
And I hate Firefox, so... I think I would rather use Edge over Firefox.
Well, I mean, at least with Bing, you get bonus points with Edge, I suppose, for looking things up, but I don't like the browser.
I used to get bonus points, and then for some reason, it was just like, your Bing Rewards account has been banned. I'm like, why?
What the f- you, how?
I don't know. I guess you were earning
points too fast. They found it suspicious.
Maybe. I would just do my searches every day, and I don't know.
That's weird to me, because I haven't had a problem with them. And I'm about to get another three-point card, or $3 card, which is so awesome.
Nice. Yeah, but fuck it, whatever. It's not like that's the end of my world.
Yeah, you could just use a better search engine anyway. Bing wasn't actually that great.
Unless you want porn. It doesn't matter what you search on Bing, you will find porn in your
results.
And
they make it so easy to turn off your, like, safe searching and shit. They just make it like... They put it right there, like, are you sure you want your safe search settings on?
There's a bunch of porn in your search results. Do you want your safe search turned off to check them out? Yeah, click.
They do that. They actually do. It's like just a bunch of blurred images, and it's just like, these are available if you turn this off. God damn.
You want to look at some titties?
Exactly. You can look up Minecraft. I guess you could look up Minecraft and find porn pretty easily. There's some weird people out there.
Bing search grabbed the internet by the pussy.
I saw a picture of this woman wearing a shirt that said Trump can grab my, and then it had an arrow down the I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Oh, man. People are stupid.
Yeah. But
anyway, got a handful of games we should review, huh?
Yeah, we do, and I had to read one.
Should probably take care of some of these, huh? So let's kick things off with a game called Manual Samuel, developed by Perfectly Paranormal, published by Curve Digital. It released October 11th on the PS4 and October 14th on Xbox One and PC for $9.99. It had a launch discount of $7.99. So depending on when this episode is out, you still might be able to get it on sale. Meet Samuel. He's handsome, wealthy, and most importantly, dead. A deal with death gives Samuel one last chance to live again if he can survive a whole day doing everything manually.
Oh, I thought this, it was a skateboarding game.
Death is constantly trying to do a kickflip in the game.
That's amazing.
This game is fucking ridiculous. I don't know how else to put this. It is hilariously goofy, stupid, over the top. The animation looks like something out of Spumco, like Ren and Stimpy style.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just beautifully animated, beautifully drawn. The humor and the voices, like
Death, man, Death is like this, bro. He's like talking like this, like I'm gonna do a kickflip, bro, and I'm just gonna like do a skateboard
That's Death in this game.
And I want it.
Who is constantly trying to land a kickflip to impress War. It's fucking, oh my god, it is so stupid, and I love it. The game is, it's one of those frustration style control games where you need to use basically everything on the controller.
Oh, what? Okay.
First off, the story is you died. You were an asshole, and your girlfriend basically walked out on you, and you went to cross the road to go after her, and you get hit by a truck, and you die. And Death makes you a deal where he'll let you live. You know, he'll give you another chance at life if you could live an entire day manually. And that means everything in the game you have to do manually. Like, you have to continually press A to blink.
Oh my gosh.
You have to press X to inhale. You have to press B to exhale. The triggers are left and right legs to walk. And if you do one twice in a row, you'll like go split legged and like wobble on the ground. So you have to use the other one. The bumpers are basically your arm movements based on what you have to do. Like, you know, the beginning of the game, you have to piss. And you have to basically use your arms to keep the stream straight ahead instead of flying all over the bathroom. Then you have to take a shower, and you have to use the bumpers to grab the shampoo and put it on, and then hit up, and then mash Y, and then down, and then mash Y, and then it's kind of like Quap, where you have to master like a dozen different button commands at once.
Yeah, ouch. That sounds difficult.
It's not as hard as it sounds, because the game is very forgiving. Even like the final boss battle, which is very much a frustrating trial and error experience. There's not much actual punishment if you loot, like if you get hit or you get hurt. It basically just restarts that certain like segment of the battle that you're on.
Oh, well, okay.
It's not like the whole chapter restarts. It's just that segment. Or like even there's some sections where you have to like ride in something, and if you get damaged, like Death will jump out and repair you, but the enemy will heal up while you're doing it.
Okay. Well, that's not bad though.
Like it's not an unforgiving type of frustration experiment. It's still Like, there's no other way to put it with the controls in this game. It's an exercise in intentional frustration, but it works really well. And the humor is there that it keeps you wanting to see what the fuck happens next, because it's ridiculous.
It looks pretty fucking funny, honestly.
It really is. There are a couple of downsides to the game. First off, it is very short. Like, really, really. Like, you can complete the campaign in probably an hour and a half.
Okay. That's pretty common now.
The upside to that is there's time attacks. So there's like bronze, silver, gold medals. There's always trying to improve what you did. Plus there's hidden hashtags in the game where if you do something specific, a hashtag will pop up. Like, there's breakfast you can eat in the game. And if you eat all of, you know, if you eat, it says learn to eat. If you eat twice, it's like ate some more. If you finish it up, it's like hashtag ate everything, stuff like that. Or if you walk in the wrong direction in an area, it'll be like explored, stuff like that. So there's hidden hashtags that you're going to have to try and track down if you want all the achievements. Just it embraces replaying the game, but there's another issue there is that like some of the cutscenes you could skip. Other ones aren't actual cutscenes. It's just like the game explaining stuff to you, and you can't skip that stuff, which gets kind of irritating. The second time I was going through the game, I'm like, all right, I learned how to drive the car. Just let me drive the goddamn car. I don't want to go through all this tutorial stuff, but.
Yeah, once you've played through a game, I feel like a game should be able to either let you skip it or just know that you've done it already.
Yeah, it's very possible that the time trial stuff doesn't include that. I really didn't mess around with the time trial sections of the game. I just focused on the actual campaign of it and then replayed parts of the campaign to try some different things through it.
Hopefully the time trials wouldn't have that, simply because if you're trying to go through it pretty fast, you should already know what's going on.
Yeah.
You should be able to just fly through it and not have to worry about a tutorial slowing you down.
But the game, just based on the ridiculousness, the humor, the fantastic voice acting in the game, like the voice acting is really well done and over the top ridiculous. For $10, I'm giving it a buy it. It's just, it's something everybody out there needs to experience because it's so weird. If you're a fan of stuff like Octodad, I Am Bread, Quap, which we mentioned, like this, you need to play this one.
Well, that's good. I've always wanted to play Octodad. Maybe I'll just skip that and play this.
Well, there you go. Like I said, the game is insane.
Well,
insane.
Buy it then.
Yes, indeed. Next game to talk about is called Everspace, developed and published by NumGames, released September 14th on Steam Early Access for $29.99. Everspace combines fast-paced combat with roguelike elements, great visuals, and a captivating story. It takes you on a challenging journey through an ever-changing, beautifully crafted universe full of surprises. Shoot, craft, and loot your way to victory while the odds are stacked against you. Uneaten Lake was in charge of this one, and he wrote in his review, and I'm going to read this one since Chris isn't here. Everspace is a single-player roguelike 360 degree or 6 degrees of freedom space shooter from Rocketfish Games. It's currently $29.99 on Steam Early Access and on Xbox One's Game Preview Program. I initially asked Joe to check this game out when I first heard about it because it was supposed to have VR support via the HTC Vive. Unfortunately, the Early Access version doesn't have VR functionality in it yet, so I'll have to wait for the final release to cover that. I want to say that the price point felt a little high to me when I first saw the game and what was available in Early Access / Game Preview. I say this because a lot of the current VR games and experiences for the Vive are typically lower than $30. Then, without the VR support currently, it raised a red flag for me. But while writing up this review, the more I thought about the game and how well it is put together, the price became less and less of an issue and felt like a worthy price. Though I have a review copy on Steam, I do see myself picking this up on the Xbox One when it is fully released. So, with the big problem of price and no VR in the early access complaints out of the way, let me tell you how awesome Everspace is and how it's worth the price. Let me first say this game is gorgeous. The graphics of the ships, the skybox in the backgrounds, weapons, and explosion effects are all top-notch and feel like a AAA game. I ended up going with the first-person perspective when I played, and the inside of the ship looks great as well. The roguelike aspects in Everspace carry over from one playthrough to the next, making each playthrough a little easier than the last. The persistent progression is one of the aspects of this game that will keep me coming back for more, especially since you can make your spaceship better each playthrough. Currently, in the early access game preview, there's only one ship, but Rocketfish has stated that two additional ships will be added by the time the game is released. The controls are great, but may also take a bit of tweaking, or at least getting used to, how to strafe in 360 degrees. I found myself getting lost in the controls a few times, but had to train myself to not use the left joystick as much. Coming from playing first-person shooters and car racing games, took my brain a bit to control the ship effectively. I wouldn't so much knock the game for the controls, but just a forewarning that others may have a little bit of adjustment time like I had before you start to feel like you're getting the hang of the game. Basic gameplay is the following. Enter a space zone, explore zone and collect resources, kill enemies in your way, warp out of zone, choose which zone to travel to next, loot through the explore, collect, kill. Once you're dead, you start over, modify your ship with the resources you've collected. Problems I had with the game: not being able to figure out how to get back to a third-person view after choosing the first-person view. There may have been text at the start of the game that tells you how to change the perspective, but I think I missed it. I don't see any settings to change from one view to the other. There's no story, but Rocketfish has stated a captivating, non-linear story featuring interesting and thoughtfully designed characters will be coming at the game's release. So you can kind of understand that's not in early access. You don't want to give it all away, right? And then no VR yet. It was one of the big selling points for me. Rocketfish has said it will be coming in the full release. For this early access game preview version, I would give it a try it. If you might be on the fence about the price, but it is a total buy it if spaceship and roguelike games are your thing. Sounds good.
I mean, it looks good, and something to say about like the controls that he was talking about. Yeah, all space games are wildly different from an actual first-person shooter or racing game.
Yeah, I know he enjoys space games. That's why I figured with this one, it's right to him.
That's actually something I don't like, so that works well. I've never been a fan of space games because of I can't control them all. I'm so bad at controlling space.
There's just so much shit to do and learn in them.
Like I played this one called Strike Suit Zero, and it was just like I was awful at it, so I wasn't enjoying myself at all.
But hey, man.
He enjoys them. And if somebody does, then this sounds like a good game.
Yeah, and I'm sure we will cover it again when the full release is out, and then we could talk more about the VR aspects and the campaign and all that other fun stuff as well.
Yes, we can.
But while we're on the subject of Uneaten Lake, he actually handled a second game for us, this one called Dimensional Intersection, developed by DNV, published by Nicalis, released September 20th on the Steam Store for Vive and the Oculus Store for $4.99. Dimensional Intersection is an interactive musical visualizer for virtual reality, featuring music from artists such as Globular and Mons, I guess. It will take you to a new reality through surreal scenes filled with interactive real-time fractals, infinite tunnels, and morphing 3D models. Sharing the love with this, so CJ, you're reading this one. Go for it.
Yes, I am. Well, he stated that stuff that you've already stated. He says it's hard to call this a game in the typical sense of how I've reviewed games in the past. Dimensional Intersection has you flying through a series of moving fractals while listening to EDM music by Globular and Mons. The experience is short, but based on how much you interact with the environment depends on how much replayability there is with this experience. You can use the motion controls to modify the fractals as well as they move toward you and change your position and color of the fractals. I can't say that word.
Fractals, I think.
Fractals, okay. Or maybe you just want to listen to the music again, and that would get you to replay the experience again. My biggest advice, if you have an HTC Vive, is to look this game up on Steam and then picture yourself flying around inside of the videos that are available. It's a trippy experience, and I imagine that that's how it feels after taking certain types of drugs. My only gripe with this one is the fact that the visuals seem a little muddy compared to what I think my 1080 graphics card could pull off. I give Dimensional Intersection a buy-it for people who are into EDM music or need a trippy experience to show off to their friends, or even a fuck it, why not, you have $5 and want to check out something trippy for your HTC Vive.
I love that we added that review score. The fuck it, why not? It's yeah, $5. It's a cool experience. Fuck it, why not?
Well, that, I think that's what he gives it then. A fuck it, why not?
Sounds good. Yeah, it sounds a lot like a shorter version of Harmonix Music VR in that it's just basically an AV experience instead of an actual game.
Right. That sounds like it. If you just have music playing while you're basically going around and looking at shit.
Yeah, that seems more like it's a structured experience as opposed to Harmonix Music VR, where you basically control it yourself and add your own music. It seems like Dimensional Intersection is more of a focused, crafted experience than just a zone out kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it more wants you to pay attention to like your surroundings while you're just listening to music.
I'll have to ask Nicalis if they're planning on porting that one to PSVR, because if they are, I'll have to pick that up and check it out.
That'd be cool.
Because I could do that now.
Yeah, you can do that now.
And then I went back and looked. I don't know why, but my notes had Everspace is developed and published by Numb Games when it's Rockfish Games. I don't know why my notes had that. Maybe when I looked earlier, the information was wrong, but just a correction. It is Rockfish Games, not Numb Games. I don't know where the hell I got that. So
I don't know. The way you sent me like the list the last week confused me, because it was like you said that Everspace/Dimensional Intersection. I thought that was the same game. I didn't know that those are two separate games, because you put a slash on that.
Yeah, and just because I didn't know if I was doing one or both of them.
Yeah, and they were both done by Uneaten Lake, but it was just like, holy shit, that confused me. I thought that was the same game, and they just had two different titles. It's just like, which one do you want to go by?
Yeah, what are you going to do? next game to chat about is called Blue Rider, developed and published by Ravigan, I think I had trouble with this the last time we covered this game, because it released October 12th on the Xbox One for $9.99, but it released earlier this year on the PlayStation 4. In a valley flooded with bullets, your next challenge rises from the heap of scraps. This time there aren't blue hedgehogs or Mega Men to save you. Hop in and become the Blue Rider. We did cover this one on the PS4 earlier this year. It's basically a twin stick exploration style shooter, where instead of like out in a vast wasteland or anything, like in space, you are exploring an actual like valley and land and mountains with a twin stick controlling spaceship. Or not a spaceship, but just a ship. A thing.
Right.
A thing. It shoots. But it's not in space. So a land ship. A land cruiser.
It's space if you consider that it's in a different planet.
Yes. That's exactly. It's a ship that shoots things, but there's a defined beginning and ending to the level, so it's not just, you know, like Geometry Wars, where it's just an open space that you're shooting things. There's actual levels to progress through, areas to explore. There's secrets hidden here and there, collectibles in the levels, and basically you start with your ship, and you have to shoot through the enemies, get to the end, fight the boss, and move on to the next stage out of 9 different stages. Each stage has, you know, its distinct beginning and ending, a handful of enemies throughout. There are power-ups that you can power up, 2 different guns that you have. There's, like, a more focused red gun that is, like, a more, like I said, focused, slower, heavier shot, or there's a blue one, which spreads out more, is a lot faster firing, but does less damage. So you have to choose which of the two you want to go with. You can switch through the game because the power-ups that drop, they will change colors. It's probably best to pick one that you like and stick with it instead of switching between the two. The game is a blast. We had a lot of fun with this one on the PlayStation 4, and now on the Xbox One, I've played it a lot more and I've gotten a lot further in the game. I don't know if it's because I'm used to the game this time around and I'm not just picking it up from nowhere, or because it's on the Xbox One and I just prefer playing things on the Xbox One.
You might have had an easier time due to the controller being
maybe. I mean, the DualShock 4 is always one of my biggest gripes with PlayStation titles. But
I mean, I can agree to that. Fucking hate PlayStation controllers.
The game is not really easy, so as you go further through the game, you know, this is a one life and you're dead kind of thing, and then you start over. Clearly, after you beat a stage, you can then start your next run on a later stage.
Oh, thank God. I was about to ask, like, wait, does that mean you had to reset the entire game?
No, but basically you start from scratch every time you die.
Right, so you lose all, like, your special abilities, and I don't know if there's score in this game, but...
Yes, there is a score.
All right, then you lose all your score, too, I imagine.
Yep. There are ways, like, if you score enough points on a run, you will gain an extra chance... that when you die, you'll respawn exactly where you were, but you will lose a chunk of your power-ups.
Which, right, but that's better than losing everything.
But it still puts you at a hell of a disadvantage.
I suppose that at that point, you're not really prepared anymore to face these people that are... I imagine the enemies don't despawn that were right around you. Like, you still got to kill them.
No, they're still there. It just respawns you exactly where you left off, but less powerful.
Yeah. Well, then hopefully those enemies are almost dead.
I mean, for the most part, the only times I really regularly died were during boss fights. So it's not like you can just despawn a boss anyway.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. I don't know. Looking at the screenshots and the trailer when I did... it didn't look like it was as crazy as some of the other ones I've seen. Like, it didn't look like a bullet hell.
Oh, it's not a bullet hell. It's definitely more of like an action arcade shooter. Although the boss fights can get kind of bullet hell-y, depending on the boss fights. I was watching a Carnage play through the one boss fight that I already went through, and I knew, like, these electrical barriers that pop up. They're like moving electrical fields. If you hit it, it only does, like, one hit point of damage. But if you stay in it, it repeatedly does one hit point of damage really, 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 really fast. So the thing came to him, and it was on him for, like, a second, and it took away 3/4 of his life.
Ouch.
And he was like, what the fuck? Like, how did that happen? What happened? He was... So, you don't want to touch the electrical fields. They wreck your shit.
They push you in.
I mean, if you rush right through it, because sometimes you just need to rush through it so you could get into a safe area, you know, if you zip right through it, you only lose a handful of hit points. But if you dilly-dally or just sit there while it comes to you, yeah, it's going to wreck your world.
The other thing I could say about this is that... I really like the look of the actual ship because it just reminds me of like a Halo ghost, but blue. I really like that.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with the game on the PS4, and I've had even more fun with it on the Xbox One. I'm sticking with a buy it on this one for $10. It's still a lot of fun. Do it up. I'm glad it came to Xbox, and I'm thrilled that we got to cover it again.
So it's $9.99 on Xbox?
Yes.
Well, then, sorry, PC users, it's $12.99 on PC.
Is it? Let me double check.
I'm looking at the Steam store right now. That's the regular price, it's $12.99.
Let me double check. I want to make sure that I'm not, like, looking at things wrong.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's possible because the original soundtrack is free with this game, with the PC.
Yeah, it's $9.99 on Xbox One. And it's actually $7.99 for a launch sale. So,
yeah, maybe it's like because the original soundtrack is free on PC, it costs more.
Maybe. $9.99 on PlayStation 4 as well. So that information is correct.
Well,
On Steam, it is also correct that it is $12.99.
Suck it, Steam users. But yeah, I dig that one, so go for it.
Well, good.
All right, next game to talk about is called Wuppo, which I've been dying to hear about this game. Developed by Newest in Persic, I think.
Weird. Is that actually name and not like company?
I this is based off the Steam information.
I think those are two, the developers are actually this the last names of the two guys.
Probably, but I'm still trying to pronounce them. So I'm going with Newest in Persic. Published by Sidesco, released September 29th on Steam for $14.99. Enter the wondrous world of Wuppo. Fight numerous enemies, collect countless items, and solve immersive puzzles, all while exploring the detailed history of the world in your quest to find a new home. CJ, this one was all you, so tell us about Wuppo.
Well, Wuppo is a 2D platformer about a wum who is a terrible tenant at the apartments that he lives in.
A wum?
Yes, that's actually the species name of the certain kind.
So it's Wuppo the Wum.
Yes.
That's awesome.
In fact, I don't even know if his name's Wuppo. I hope it is, but I don't know. It might not actually be Wuppo. That might just be the name of the game.
Maybe.
Or maybe the world that they live in is Wuppo.
Hey, you played this.
Yeah,
you tell
well,
me.
This game doesn't do a whole lot of explaining things. But he's thrown out of the apartments because he made a mess with his ice cream in the hallway again. And that pisses off Carlos, which is the building manager. And your goal is to get back home. And he locks the door, and then you talk to a chef that's on the balcony, and he's like, I'll let you in. But then he's like, oh no, the door's locked. They can't let you in. Even though he's on the inside of the door, and, you know, you'd think that the door on the inside would just have, like, a little thing that you could just open.
That son of a bitch.
But I guess it's a key lock on both sides. So fuck you if you need groceries. You're not getting out. But the game itself is actually surprisingly difficult, because it doesn't really tell you what to do at all. Like, they kind of just have you figure it out, which is difficult when there's, like, multiple paths to take. And I just, for, like... I found myself going for like half an hour just running around these areas trying to figure out like which way do I go? None of this makes sense. I wound up actually collecting all the items I needed by mistake, but didn't know what to do with them because I kept exploring the area. Eventually figured out that I had to place them on something. I don't want to give that away, but that initiates a boss fight. And then there's your first major boss fight. I fought two bosses before that, but they were kind of like, is this really a boss? This isn't really
like mini bosses,
basically. And then all of a sudden you get this big door looking motherfucker. He destroys you. He's just like, it just goes from easy to hard extremely quickly. The boss fights in this game are actually really challenging, which I didn't expect from the other two bosses. He has moves that like insta-kill you. And you have to avoid these. Of course, the one that insta-kills you is really easy to avoid, at least. But the other moves that aren't as easy to avoid do a lot of damage. So you still got to watch out and try not to die. I would say that this guy I beat on my second attempt after realizing that he had an insta-kill move. I didn't really know what he was doing when he was doing it. It wasn't obvious, and so I kind of just like took it. And I was like, oh. Okay, but it spawns you right at the boss fight again, ready to start it, and I just went ahead and killed him the second time because I knew what to avoid. He still took out most of my health, but hey, you know, if he's dead, he's dead. It doesn't matter how much I lost. The gumball gun that you have, which it is a gumball gun, God, tongue twister, it does minimal damage. It's like, you see that you just chip at the boss's health forever, because it just does like, one, two, one, one, two, three. You got lucky, you got a critical hit.
Critical, yeah.
It's just like, it does literally one damage most of the time. And it just like, it drains the boss's health so slowly. Because you just watch these little balls of health go down, and they have like five balls of health. And you just don't really affect those balls very well.
You gotta learn to work the balls.
Yeah. I mean, this game is all about balls. your character's a ball. He was actually a fat ball, but when he got thrown out, he turned skinny. And a dude stole your TV. So
I like the look of the game. Like, I'm sure some people will get turned off by the visuals, but I love the look of the game. It has a very, like, Paper Mario or, like, a Super Mario World 2, like, a kind of like a hand-drawn crayon look to it.
Yes, I liked it, too. It's, like, it's all cute and really well done. And everything, like, has, like, little jiggles to it. Like, I even noticed, like, the, what do you call it? The thing that you aim with, the cursor, but it's like a reticle. That, yeah. There, reticle. It even like kind of fluctuates a bit. Depending on when you're, where you're aiming and stuff, it'll just like, it'll move while you're aiming. It's really fun.
Throbbing.
And then you have these like weird enemies that are also pretty cool and each unique. Like you have, these sunflower people that aren't really enemies. But they're kind of like, you can make them enemies by shooting them, and then they get mad at you, and they'll start beating you. But, you know, they're easy to kill. But if you do that, when you meet the king of it, you have to do a boss fight, which I didn't know. I met the king of their people. And this is really early on in the game. But I met their people, and then I was like, oh, oops, I killed 15 of them. And then he's like, I want you to pay me money for each one you killed. But you can tell him no, and then he'll just be like, oh, well, could you help us then with something to repay? And it's just like, you could tell him no again, but I didn't. I was like, sure, why not? There, then I can repay my debt and still not
pay your debt to society for being a murderer.
Yeah, because I was rude. And then I like the way each boss looks. There was the last boss that I fought that I could not beat. Because, well, not actually the last boss in the game, but the last one I fought, I couldn't beat him. He was like this big looking crab dude that walked on the walls, and these rocks kept falling from the ceiling, but they seemed unavoidable and almost like they were tracking me. Mm-hmm. Like this boss fight was so much harder than the others, and the rocks did so much damage. Like four or five rocks and you're dead. And when they seem to track you, which I mean they shouldn't because they're rocks, and I doubt that they actually do. It's just like, it's just weird. It feels like they come after you. I actually didn't really get damaged by the boss that much. It was all just the falling rocks from the ceiling that were hurting me while fighting the boss. Because it was environmental damage.
Get good, bro.
Also, this boss is the one that those lion people wanted you to help. So they come along, too, to help fight him. But they don't do anything. They just kind of like stand around and walk around while you fight. And it's just like, what are you doing? Help me. You guys could, if they actually helped, I think we could have gotten that boss killed much quicker. And during that boss fight, the background color and your color, it makes it really hard to actually see, like, yourself on the screen. Because it's like, the background is like this purplish-bluish color, and you're also a purplish-bluish color. So it makes it really hard to actually see yourself and manage where you are while also killing them, which might be why the rocks hurt me so much as well. Because I'm trying to focus on hitting him by moving my reticle, but at the same time, I'm getting hit by rocks and not noticing where I am, and it is just really difficult. The music was well done, but it had some weird, like, I didn't like the transitions between screens because the music would kind of weirdly just end and then start another track. Like, so often, I feel like more screens should have had the same track instead of it. It felt like it changed almost every screen. It was a little bit weird to me. The other thing that really bothered me with this game was you can't change the control scheme. You have to use WASD. To me, that is not impossible, but much more difficult for me to handle because I play with arrow keys. I'm left-handed on PC, even though I'm right-handed with everything else in my life. That's how I was taught to play PC games because of my dad, and so that makes it really hard to actually play with WASD. I eventually kind of got used to it, but it's just like, I think it honestly made me play a little worse because I wasn't used to that kind of control scheme.
They need a left-handed option in the game.
Yeah, if they allowed you to use the arrow keys, I think it would be a much easier game for me to play.
and enjoy it.
Besides that, there wasn't really too much more. I got stuck pretty early on, I think. Like, I feel like there's more to this game than what I was able to get. But it makes it hard when you can't change the controls and the background color is the same color as you. You can do some shopping in the game, but mainly you just shoot the guy that has the shop because he stole your TV. and then you get an achievement for it. It's just, and it does, he gives you money. He's like, hey, man, I mean, I won't give you your TV back, but you can have some money. It's just like, okay.
So you shoot the guy who stole your TV, and then he pays you, but you don't get your TV back.
Yeah, basically he pays for your TV at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, weird, but, you know, whatever. Overall, I'd give this game a try. $15 seems a little bit expensive, but at the same time, there could be much more to this game than I got to and what I'm anticipating.
If you weren't such a massive scrub at games.
Yeah, and if they weren't such a mean person about WASD only.
Well, hopefully they hear this.
Yeah,
and,
hopefully.
They add in a left-handed control option. If they do, maybe we'll make you check it out again.
Yeah, maybe I'll be able to beat that boss with left-handed controls. But, yeah, try it.
Sounds good. Yeah, I know the game has a free demo on Steam, so I'm actually going to grab the demo and give it a go. Looks really cool. And then they also have soundtrack DLC, a fun pack which has like wallpapers and shit like that, and then a shop DLC which adds extra, like two extra shops to the game.
That's interesting to me, the idea of just like a shop DLC that just adds stores.
Yeah.
But interesting.
We'll figure it out. It sounds cool though. Yeah, like I definitely am interested in this game after checking it out and hearing from you and all that stuff.
Well, then you should do that.
I will. When I have money, I will buy it. But I'm poor. And I just spent how much money on vet bills for Predator, so.
And you wasted, like $11 on a stupid game? Like, I don't know, that stupid...
Tour de France, 2011.
Yeah, that was fun.
Hey, you and Chris told me to do it.
Yeah, but we were joking.
So I got a rebate from PayPal, and I'm like, you know what? This wasn't money I was going to have before, so why not?
That was why.
And I should get it hopefully by early next month because it's coming from France.
Oh, the Tour de France is coming from France.
Yeah, well, it was European only, so I got to get it from Europe.
Wow. They started releasing them here, but I guess that one was only in Europe.
Yeah, because it's probably more popular over there.
I mean, hopefully, because I don't think it's that popular here. I'd hope it's more popular. They're just making games for no reason.
All right, one more game to talk about, and it is called Reus. I believe that's the pronunciation, although I have fucked up nearly every other pronunciation on this show, so take that with a grain of salt. Developed by Abbey Games, published by Sidesco once again, released October 11th on Xbox One and PS4 for $24.99. In Reus, you control powerful giants that help you shape the planet to your will, creating mountains, oceans, forests, and more. Enrich it with plants, minerals, and animal life. Only one thing you do not control... mankind, with all their virtues and vices. You can shape their world, but not their will. Provide for them and they may thrive. Give them too much and their greed may gain the upper hand. This is very much, like a world simulator, kind of like, you know, Tropico or Civilization, stuff like that. Although instead of being on a 3D plane and having a vast open world to explore, this is all handled on a 2D plane in a globe view, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does, because I see screenshots. You stick them up, too.
Basically, you have an open planet to craft as you want, but again, it's only in a 2D plane. So you have just the circular outside of the planet. You have the four different giants that you control. One can create mountains, one can create oceans, one can create forests, and one can create swamplands. And you have to basically build the world properly to allow for civilization to arrive. You clearly have to start with an ocean. Then you can build mountains, which if they cut off the ocean will create deserts. Forests can only be placed next to oceans. So you have to figure out how you want to plan your world and how you want it laid out.
Very interesting.
From there, mankind will basically just appear on its own, and you have very, very little actual influence on what the humans do in the world. All you can do is shape the world around them by, like, planting, you know, giving plants and fruits and putting wildlife down or putting minerals in the earth. Everything that you place down can kind of interact with each other. So, like, if you place, you put a plant down, blueberries or apples or whatever, and it's next to, say, chickens, they may work in tandem, and you'll have, you know, you'll gain more food between the two of them, which will create more productivity from the humans. So I can't synergy, I guess.
Yeah.
Depending on what you put down, like a mineral may have a good impact next to another mineral, which can double the wealth and what they provide.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This game looks very interesting and like weird.
It is an incredibly unique take on how just everything is done. It's really interesting. Just, it's so weird playing it in a 2D format instead of like Tropico had a big open city that you would create and a world to explore, where this is all done on a 2D plane, but there's a lot more planning involved than you would originally think in the game.
Yeah, it sounds like it can get pretty complicated.
It gets fairly complex fairly quick. There is a tutorial in the game which kind of guides you through. There are some pre-made scenarios that you can go through as well. There's a free play where it's basically do whatever you want, whenever you want. I believe it also includes the DLC from the PC version, which explains the drastically different price on Steam. The game is $10.
That's what I was gonna ask that, because yeah, $10 versus $24.99, you said?
Yes, but Steam also has an anniversary update for $20 and additional DLC for $7.49. And I believe all of that is included in the console release.
I don't see the DLC here on the Steam page though.
It's under the bundle.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Or wait, no.
No, that's
a different game.
Yeah, that's a completely different game.
Well, then I don't understand the price difference.
Yeah, I was going to ask. There doesn't seem to be anything different for Ryu's on PC. It just seems like the price is like drastically different.
Yeah, I was looking at things wrong, and that's Renowned Explorers is a different game, which is $19.99. Yeah, so I thought I figured out why it was so much more expensive on console, but I am wrong. So I am back to not knowing why it's so much more on console. I know a lot of the Steam reviews mention that it's a fantastic, addicting game for $10. Which I can agree. If this was a $10 or $15 game, it would be an easy, easy recommendation for how unique and different it is. And it's a beautiful game as well. I love the visual style. I love how much you can zoom in and just like see the fine details in the world. But at $24.99, I don't understand the price of it. I don't know if it was that difficult to get ported over to console where they need to make up the cost somehow.
That's my only thought, is that it had to have been like something problematic, like it took a lot of resources to port it, and so they needed to make that back by selling it at a higher price.
Which I can understand if that's the reason, but I still, I mean, at $24.99, I'm still giving this a try it because it's a really, really cool experience, a cool game, a lot to do, very open-ended. You can waste months of your life on this game if it sucks you in. If it was cheaper, it would be a no-brainer kind of buy it thing. But
yeah, if it was like the Steam price, that would be like easy. Just go buy it.
But at $24.99, I got to give it a try it. If you own a PC, it is available on Steam for $10, so you might want to look into that as well.
Yeah, if you have a PC that's capable of running it, which I'd imagine it wouldn't be that difficult to run it, I'd say that just go with that over the console version at this point.
Yeah. Overall, the game, no matter how you pick it up or how you play it, it's definitely worth playing in some form.
Yeah, I mean, if it goes on sale on console for, say, like, goes down to $10 on a sale, then there's where you should pick it up.
I'd even say, like, 15. It's worth grabbing for 15. I mean, it's still worth grabbing for 25 if you have the money for it. The price will turn some people off. If you're worried, you know, watch some gameplay footage of it. Get a good feel for it. I really don't understand the price difference, but... Yeah, it's still a fun game.
Yeah. Very cool.
So I'll give it a try overall.
I can agree with that. It still looks like a cool game.
Oh, yeah. It's a gorgeous game, and there are achievements out the ass.
even on Xbox, huh? Because I noticed it's like 123 on Steam.
There's, I want to say, like 60-something on Xbox.
That's pretty rare that you see that many achievements in an indie game.
Yeah, look at, what was it, Q? Had like 99.
Oh yeah, there's 64 on Rios. Yeah, that's so much to me. The idea that it's just like, there's like 99 in a single game for an indie game is really like surprising. Yeah. Like all the achievements in that game were like, what, like 5 gamer score or something?
In Q, it was all weird shit, like 3 and 6 and 13. Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, Reyes keeps them all on 5s and 0s, so no worries there.
Well, even 64 seems normal for a AAA title. Yeah. So that makes more sense to be able to keep it at that level.
Yeah, and a lot of them come down to, like, completing different projects in the game. So it's not like... it's not an easy completion. It is a very time-consuming completion if you come down to it. But as you're going through the game, it feels like it's continually giving you reason to keep playing with the different projects that you could complete.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, cool game. Again, $25. It feels kind of steep for what's there, especially compared to the Steam price, but it's still worth checking out. So,
yeah,
those are the reviews for this episode. We are going to take a musical little break, and then we will jump into our interview with Andrew Hoyle of Badland Games. I think I'm just going to play some more music off of Tribute Album 64, because we could probably play that for a couple of years, given how many tracks are on that.
That's true.
CJ, you got any final words to end this?
Zoink, please bring Zombie Vikings to Xbox One already.
Dude, seriously, I've been bugging him for over a year now. Welcome back, everyone. Interview time right now. I am joined by Andrew Hoyle of Badland Games. Andrew, how are you doing today? As my phone goes off right now. Wonderful.
Very well, thank you, Jay. Yeah, thank you for inviting me on.
I'm very glad to have you. Our show has been covering a number of Badland games over the past year, and I'm thrilled that we finally have someone on Badland on the show to chat with us. So how is the UK today? How are you guys doing over there?
It's very lonely at the moment. My colleague Ben, who's normally in the office with me, he's gone to Barcelona because it's Barcelona Games Show, along with the Madrid colleagues as well. So it's very lonely in the office at the moment.
Is it just you there?
I was in Barcelona, put it that way.
Yeah, if it's just you, throw a party, have a bender.
So I've been tweeting and Facebook and a lot of the pictures that they've been sending me. So just another reminder that they're living up in Barcelona.
Man, why did they leave you behind?
Well, someone's got to man the fort.
Man, are you like the new guy that they made you stay behind, or are you the most seasoned person that you're staying behind, or did you just draw the short straw?
I think I just draw the short straw, to be honest.
Damn, that sucks. But hey, like I said, just now's the time to get drunk and work in your underwear in the office.
If you get the chance, so we've already tweeted out some pictures on the Badland Games Twitter page, and the stand that just looks awesome. There's so much going on in there at the moment. So many games being played, and yeah, there's so much happening. So if you get a chance, just check it out on Twitter, Facebook.
What is the Barcelona Game Show? I haven't heard of that one.
So obviously it's set in Barcelona. So just another game show that, you know, showcases publishers, distributors. So I've got games coming out, our games already released as well. So it gets people the chance just to play our games. Get nice. To know a bit more about Badland Games as well. And get to meet the colleagues as well, my colleagues as well, and just know about more about the games that we have. And they might even get a free code. Who knows? We can ask them nicely.
Nice. That sounds awesome. So for our listeners who might not know who Badland Games are, tell us about Badland Games. Tell us who you are. Tell us what you do and what Badlands Games does.
Well, Badland Games was founded in 2011, about 5 years ago, and it's situated in Madrid, in Spain, and it's a distributor and publisher for video games, distributor for AAA games, such as The Voice. We've got Telltale games like The Walking Dead, The Wolf Among Us. We've even done things like The Farming Simulator, Blood Bowl 2 as well.
Oh, wow.
We've got the WRC6 that's just come out as well. The Game of Thrones series as well that we distribute. There's a whole host of games that we've done, and we've got some new ones that have just come out as well. And then about a year ago, we we opened up the UK office. Where myself and Ben are now based, and I head up the Badland Indie side, where we have a great selection of indie games that we have. So ones that we've released in the past, I'm sure you're aware of, like Anima Gate and Memories, Heart and Slash, Dex, the Olly Olly Epic Combo Edition, Olly Olly 2 as well. We've just recently released Zenith as well, the RPG Zenith. Just a couple of days ago, it was Dead Synchronicity. And yesterday, we had the Xbox One digital release of Castles as well.
Man, you guys are busy. I actually didn't know about all the distribution that you guys did. I'm guessing that's mainly European distribution.
Yes, we mainly European. We do select games for the US as well, and we're trying to crack the New Zealand and also Asian markets as well. So, yeah, I head up mostly the indie side. where my colleagues in the middle, mostly with the distribution and publishing of the AAA games from there as well.
Nice, yeah. And the indies are mainly what we've covered on our show. You mentioned Anima and Dex and Heart and Slash, and we have absolutely loved those games.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you guys have been, like, absolutely nailing it with the games you've been putting out lately.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the great thing about our games that we tend to do is release a physical version as well, which is kind of unheard of with some publishers. They just release like a digital version of the game and then market it, and then that's done with it. Although we still do digital versions of our indie games, do the physical versions, but we also want to, with the physical version, we want to release extra value content of that. So what I mean by that is that we have, let's take Olly Olly Epic Combo Edition. That was just a physical PS4 version, but in there we had behind-the-scenes footage, more DLC, the Olly Olly Epic Combo 2, Olly Olly 2, Olly Olly 1, and a whole host of other content that was included in pack that you just won't find anywhere else.
I was excited because that was one of the few physical games that you're talking about that have actually come over to America. Like, I see you guys have a physical release of Heart and Slash and Dex, and I'm just staring at them like, man, why don't I have those in America?
Yeah, it's, hopefully we'll try and get those games and maybe in the future over to the US. But yeah, at the moment, just in Europe and select countries at the moment. But something that we would definitely look forward to in the future.
Now, do you guys only do PlayStation 4 physical releases? I know in America, Xbox has this weird thing of, like, manufacturing requirements that a lot of indie titles can't really commit to or match, so they skip physical releases over here, but PlayStation doesn't really care. Is that the same over there?
At the moment, we just concentrate on the PlayStation 4 for the physical release. We feel that there's more of a demand in the PlayStation 4. However, there could be certain games next year that we could possibly do an Xbox One physical. But at the moment, we just concentrate on the PlayStation 4.
Nice. I'll say now, if you guys release a physical version of, like, Heart and Slash and Dex, I will import the shit out of them. I love those games.
We do have a physical version of Heart and Slash, but obviously not available for the US at the moment. But if you want to import it, just have it sat on your shelf looking at it.
Now, is that on Xbox or is that PlayStation only?
It is PlayStation only, yeah, PlayStation 4.
Yeah, because if it was Xbox, then I'd import it. Because I've imported a handful of games, and the glory of region-free systems is that it works. So,
yes.
Plus that soundtrack and a mini art book. Oh, man.
Yeah, things like that make the game just stand out. It just gives it a bit more longevity to the game as well. I think with diehard fans who don't want to buy the digital version of a game, who want, you know, something a bit more, will probably be looking for more, maybe the physical version. So like you said, with the art book, and then you have a soundtrack, and then with Anima, we had a collector's edition. We had tarot cards, we had a figurine, there was some DLC as well. There was all different things in that. You know, that was great for the diehard fans and even newcomers as well to the genres.
Now, do you know if the Anima Collector's Edition, I know when I asked, I believe Madison, when that first came out, I asked if that was coming to America at all, and there was kind of possibly, maybe not. Has there been any word on that?
There's definitely been word on that, yes. So, yeah, that's definitely in the works.
Yes. Because that figurine looks... I would love to get that figurine to just have sitting on... I have a problem with figurines. Like, I have way too many. My wife is glaring at me right now. Because I have way, way too many statues and figures in my living room. And I think the Anima figure would make a nice addition. I would like to have that, so...
Unfortunately, it's only for PlayStation 4 at the moment.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes when there's no other option, you go with PlayStation. I mean, I do own and cover everything, so I mean, I can get PlayStation stuff. I just prefer Xbox. So. Okay. So. But yeah, you mentioned a bunch of newer games that just released or are coming soon. I figure we could chat about those a bit. Let's start off with Zenith. This is action RPG with a ton of humor to it. Tell us about Zenith.
You say Zenith, I say Zenith. I don't know what the best way to pronounce it. I don't know, but
Well, so, you guys made the game, so I'll go with Zenith.
So, Zenith. So it's by developer Infinigun Games, based in Spain. And this is one of my personal favorites, actually. Like you mentioned, the humor is very, very sarcastic, and there's a lot of parody throughout the game as well, relating to other films and games, RPG games that have come out as well, like Final Fantasy. And you play this character called Argus, and you basically you're a mage, and you've been tasked to save the world from the apocalypse. Which, you know, who doesn't love doing that?
Very and, true.
And we've sent out some codes, and we've been given some great feedback on the game, and a lot of playthroughs, and people are enjoying the game, they're loving the game, and me included. And it's just one of those games you just pick up and play, just spend many hours playing it, and it's just a ton of fun and just a load of laughs as well.
I'm still fairly early into it, but I'm having a blast with it so far. I think it's fun to see an action RPG that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yes, I find that. Yeah, so you're playing a couple of RPGs, you're getting it's a very serious storyline and that, and you think, okay, you know, where's the funny bits, or, you know, we're going to lighten up now. And this was completely different, you know, completely different at all. And I just absolutely love it. I just love the jokes that come out of it, just right from the off. I think the singing spiders.
I was just going to mention those. I lost it when he's telling the story and he's like, oh, well, they're right behind you. And then they start singing and I fucking lost it. It was just so goofy. I loved it.
But yeah, we also have a physical version as well. And with that, we have a poster and extended manual with the art book as well. So that's something if people are interested, you know, wanting to go out and buy the physical version, and they have a bit more about the developer and its art, and even the poster of the whole world of Zenith as well is in there. So that's worth checking out as well on the Badland Indie page as well.
Yeah, that's another one I've been eyeing up. So I like the poster looks really nice.
Yes. We also have a competition going on at the moment. I don't know if anybody's aware that it finishes in about 33 hours. I've just seen the countdown. So it's posed like a wizard. So if you get your entries in, then hopefully we'll be in the running to win a copy of Zenith as well.
Unfortunately, I don't think the episode is going to release in time for our listeners to do it, but I will tweet out about it later on because I'm still hoping to try and get crazy and send in a picture myself as well. Are you guys going to send prizes to the U.S. if I win one?
if you want one, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice addition. I've actually had the Zenith page bookmarked on my computer for about a month now, keeping an eye on that contest. So I'm curious to see the other entries in there.
Yeah, so we've got about 12 at the moment, as you can see. So yeah, go crazy.
Any really good crazy ones yet?
Yeah, we've got some interesting ones, yeah.
Definitely interesting ones. How NSFW can you get for that contest? Your silence tells me enough.
Well, only I will see it, so I don't know how far you want to take it.
Sounds good. Another game you mentioned just released on the Xbox One. I got to say, finally, Castles just came out this week as we're recording. I'm thrilled to see that finally come out on the Xbox One as well. I enjoyed that one back on Steam. Really, really cool puzzle game. It gets tough, though.
Yes. Yeah. How are you finding it? Have you played it yet?
I played the Steam release, and then I've played a little bit of the Xbox release so far. I really enjoy the game. I think it's a really cool puzzle mechanic of having to push the blocks around and hope you don't get squashed by the blocks that fall on you. But yeah, that game gets difficult fairly quick. It just the speed of which things come down. I need to practice more.
That's where it demands more practice, more gameplay. But I think the best thing about Castles is it's just the simplicity of it, the pick up and play. You just go straight into it, you know what to do. And then just play with a friend as well, local co-op as well. So yeah, as you said, it's great for it to come to Xbox. So we've now got it on Steam, PlayStation 4, and now Xbox One for digital download.
Yeah, I think that was actually one of the very first games that I contacted Badland about. And this was last fall when the console versions got bumped, but the Steam version came out in January, was it?
I think so, yes. I think so.
Yeah, and we were able to cover the Steam version on our show, which I was excited about, and I'm so happy that it finally made it to Xbox, because it's such a cool little puzzle game, and especially for only $5.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's just a ridiculously good price for a game like that.
What other reason do you need?
Exactly.
There you go. It's a puzzle game. There we go.
It's just fun and addictive, and yeah, you'll waste hours on it. So,
absolutely.
You mentioned Dead Synchronicity. Tomorrow Comes Today, just released on the PlayStation 4. I have sadly not had time to fire this one up yet. I was actually about to play it this morning, and then the whole kitten vet appointment was made, and this interview got bumped up. So I sadly have not gotten my hands on that one yet, but it's going to happen.
I'll tell you what, if you love point-and-click games, I mean, I'll just talk about going on to the PC, but now this has gone on to PlayStation 4. If you love point-and-click games, then you'll absolutely love this one. The art style alone is just amazing. I've managed to play a couple of hours on it, and I was just so gripped with just the storyline. It's for me, it was confusing at first, but once you get into it, it just kind of sucks you in, and it's become just really amazing. And I know from people on YouTube who've been playing it, from reviews, are just absolutely loving the gameplay, the style of it, the story. It's just a really, really great game. It's not something I would have normally looked for, like in the point and click genre, but this has kind of just revitalized my love for point and click games. I think ever since like Broken Sword, it's kind of just had that hole in my life. And I just needed something to go in its place, and I think kind of Dead Synchronicity has done that. But I won't spoil much of the story for you. I think you just need to go in there and kind of immerse yourself in, into that.
Do you want to give us like the sales pitch on what the game is about?
I'll read about on the site, so it doesn't really give much away, and you know, I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh, you're cheating that way.
Well, I can remember. So, you play a man called Michael, and your purpose is to uncover your identity, and kind of decode the events that what have happened recently. So there are two events that have happened. The first one's called the Great Wave, where a chain of natural disasters has happened that has caused the world to kind of go into apocalypse, which is called the New World.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's not very cheery, but...
sounds really happy to me.
On top of that, you have a pandemic that has broken out, where a select group of humans fall ill, and then they kind of dissolve into a pool of blood, and they're called the Dissolved. So, in a way, you have to do a bit of detective skills and find out how the world became like that. Kind of find out who you are, and also why you seem to be going time traveling as well. I think I'll stop there. I won't say any more about that, but I think with all the puzzles and the art style and the story, the main story, it's definitely going to keep you hooked. Hopefully it'll keep you hooked.
So it sounds like if you enjoyed the bright, happy colors of Heart and Slash and the humor of Zenith, this is absolutely nothing like it.
Yes. It's a different direction of game.
Yeah, I love the art style of it. It looks incredibly just unique and beautiful. I love that more games are starting to have hand-drawn elements. Like, everything just looks like a painting or a drawing, and it's gorgeous.
What developer Victor Armour have done, they've made a free minigame, which is a prologue to Dead Synchronicity, called The Longest Night. And last week we did a live Twitch stream of the game, inviting people to come on and help out progress through the prologue. And it's available now on the Badland Indie page for people to download. So if you've got a PC, if it's Windows, Mac, or Linux, you could download the prologue for free, which sets it up perfectly for Dead Synchronicity. So it's definitely worth checking that out before you start playing Dead Synchronicity.
And it's free.
Free as well.
That makes it all the better. And then if you enjoy it, there you go. It's on Steam and PlayStation. Is that one's coming to Xbox as well eventually, right?
It is. Unfortunately, we don't have a release date confirmed as of yet. But as soon as we know, then we'll put the word out, and you can tweet about it.
I'm going to take a wild guess here. Certification.
It is a little bit, and it's also Microsoft as well.
All right.
I'll leave it at that.
I know we've talked to some people who have had games ready to go, and Microsoft was like, this isn't really a good time with how many games are out. What if we bump it to here so it has more of a chance to stand on its own? Is it one of those kind of issues?
I just think it's one of Microsoft's general issues with the game itself, maybe certification as well, but that's something that my colleagues from the head office in Madrid are trying to work out. But once we've worked out all the problems and that with, and then we should be able to get the Xbox One up and running.
Well, hopefully soon, because it looks fantastic. Again, I actually, my PlayStation is on the title screen of the game, and I was ready to dive into it this morning. But hopefully soon on the show, we'll be covering it. And it looks phenomenal. It's just such a beautiful game.
What I would also like to add is that if you go onto the Dead Synchronicity page on Badland Indie, there's a host of free content as well. So we've got like wallpapers, postcards, even a mini art book as well. That's Victorama really kindly given us. So we were able to give out to people to download as well. So that's definitely worth checking out. Some great, if you like the artwork, I would recommend you check that out.
I noticed there's a soundtrack composed by a rock, but like an indie band.
Yes. Apologies, I might get the name wrong. It's Kovaski, I think. Yes. So a couple of the band members are part of Victorama, the developers.
Ah.
So they've lent their hand in making the music for the game.
That's really cool. I like it when an actual band makes music for a game and gives it a more personable feel instead of just like a generic orchestral score or something.
Yes, and I don't know if you've checked out the soundtrack, and it's come across very bleak the way I've described the game, but the soundtrack, it's got a very subtle but rocky theme as well. That's fantastic to listen.
And in October, later on this month, there's going to be a physical edition of that as well in Europe, huh?
Yes. So from tomorrow, the physical edition will be released. It's released in different dates, depending on country. So with the physical edition, again, we're adding more value-added content to our physical edition box sets. So this one will have an A3 poster, the full art book, and a soundtrack CD as well.
And is that the full soundtrack from the band?
That is, yep. For the Dirt and Custody, yes.
Man, all this stuff coming out that I want to import. Again, my wife is just glaring at me like, we don't have the money for this. Oh, man, so much good stuff.
I could see a pattern coming on here, and you're just going to be importing a load of Badland games. You're going to have a Badland Games shrine of just unopened box sets.
See, I'm one of those guys, I like to open them and check everything out. Like, I can't just order it and set it on my shelf. I want to open it, and I want to look through the art book, and I want to install the soundtrack onto my computer so I can listen to it, and maybe even hang up the poster. So I like making use of all that stuff. You guys work your asses off to make it, so I want to use it.
Absolutely. And I hope you do. If you find that spare bit of money, then you should do it.
Probably. Eventually, I will.
Good.
another game you have that it's not out yet. It's coming later on this fall, I believe. Ginger, Beyond the Crystal.
Yes.
Tell us about this one.
So this is one of the first kid-friendly games that I have the pleasure of marketing, and I absolutely love this game. It's a nice combination of platformer and simulation, where the player plays Ginger. Your village has been the blue crystal inside your village has basically been taken over, and there's red crystals, and the whole world is doomed. So as Ginger, it's up to you to put your village and the surrounding towns back to normal. And there's great aspects for children and parents to play together and to work together with the puzzles and the simulation side, where you achieve enough materials to recreate your village and place houses and other things around your village, basically to build it back up again. And yeah, really looking forward to this game. And it's, I don't know if you've checked out the trailer, and you could dress Ginger up in different costumes, and his costumes depends on what abilities he has. Yeah, so it just sounds like a great game.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. I knew about the platforming elements, but I didn't really know about like the resource building or the resource gathering and the town building. That's a really cool mixture there.
Yeah, so it's definitely, like I said, it's definitely something different. You just want, it's not just a straight up platformer, kids platform. It's giving children and parents just, you know, that creative aspect, you know, to go back over and collect materials so you can build a world, basically. And I think since Minecraft, that it would definitely appeal to maybe children who love Minecraft, who love building, who love platformers. And it's got some great, cute characters in there as well. And again, the artwork is just amazing, the characters.
Yeah, it's a really cute game, so I'm definitely eager to check that out. I know you're saying it's geared more towards a younger audience, or like parents and children working together, but I think it looks cute, and I want to get my hands on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've also got again a physical version for that. It's something that we're going to announce really, really soon. With the physical version, more geared towards children and parents, we have a activity book, a coloring book that includes inside the box set. Also, a huge poster along with stickers, so that children can place their characters and buildings around the poster as well. So yeah, it's just a great activity box set.
That sounds cool as hell. Coloring book and stick. Tell me there's crayons included.
Oh, we haven't added crayons, unfortunately.
Damn it. Crayons not included. There you go. You could put that on the box. Crayons not included.
It is not included.
Man, that sounds really cool. Yeah, I saw that the website is mentioning a boxed version pre-order, but it didn't have any kind of details on it, so I wasn't sure if there were any bonuses with that one. But man, a full-on coloring book, stickers, a colored poster—that sounds awesome.
So we'll announce that relatively soon. So yeah, you heard it at first.
I was gonna say, it sounds like you just announced it. When's that game supposed to be coming out?
We have the digital version coming out the 25th of October, and the PS4 boxed version coming out the 28th of October.
Alright, yeah, I saw the pre-order for that on the Xbox Digital Store, so I knew it had to be coming soon.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, that's right around the corner too. Man, you guys, seriously, in like a month span, you have Zenith, Dead Synchronicity, Castles, and Ginger. All in, yes, a 1 month span. That is insane.
Wow. I'm exhausted at the moment. I've still got more to do.
Like, what other stuff do you have coming in the future that you can talk about and that you have revealed so far?
Well, we have Coringa's Revenge, which is going to be released next month, 11th of November. So this is a follow-up to Yasa Ninja. And I don't know if you've seen it on our website. It's a very quirky hack and slash platformer that you can play with a friend, where the characters are dressed up as vegetables.
Yeah, we actually covered Yasai Ninja, the original game, on our show. Yes. After they did their first update to the game. I know the original game released to a fairly negative reception, and then, yes, the developers were working hard to improve the game, make it better, and after that, we, you know, I saw that it got an update and it got patched and we got in touch with them and they let us check it out. And I really enjoyed my time with it. And I even mentioned on the show that I'm excited to see what they would do if this becomes a franchise, because I think they're learning from the mistakes they made. They're taking the feedback, making a better title, working on fixing problems. And they seem, more than anything else, they seem dedicated to making a good, enjoyable game. And when you have the passion to make a good game, I think that speaks volumes, that you want to make a good experience.
We have the official trailer on our website. So if anybody is concerned if they've basically repeated their mistakes, you just got to watch the trailer, and it, your fears, you know, it will be gone, basically. They've improved so much with the graphics are improved, the playability has been improved. They've definitely listened to the reviews to people, and just watching the trailer, it just seems a much better game. And hopefully people will love it. Also, we got, I don't know if you're familiar with lenticular sleeves.
Indeed.
We have one for Coringa's Revenge, which you can see on our website.
Yeah, I've been staring at the animated GIF of it just rocking back and forth.
And it's another game that's, the artwork is just amazing as well. When you can, you take simple things like vegetables and make them into characters, then I know you've got an interesting game on your hands. And, yeah, so playing a broccoli or an onion, I think that's sold for me.
Yeah, I know I mentioned that in our original review that I enjoyed the visual style of it, and it showed, like, it wasn't just a generic look. It had a very comic book style to it, and the screenshots for the new one look really, really good so far. I'm eager to see it in motion and how well it plays and how well it looks. And shout out to Rico Technology for wanting to make a better game, improving, teaming up with you guys. And I'm still grateful that when we covered Yusai Ninja on our show, one of the programmers or developers actually just tracked down our email address and wrote us and thanked us for covering the game and being honest and fair about the game. Like, clearly it still had some issues when we covered it, but we could see what was underneath the surface and what they were trying to do, and it appreciate what was there, and they were thankful that we weren't just needlessly pouring hate onto the game, which we don't like to do on this show.
Yeah, so it's just fantastic that they, you know, like I said, just listened to their fans, and then they've now produced a much more polished sequel to the game. But I think also was worth noting is that with Coringa's Revenge, depending if you have an Xbox One or a PS4, that you can use the Kinect or the touchpad to control your characters, the powers as well. So this is one of the first games that I've actually come across so far that uses the Kinect bit within game.
Really? I did not know about that.
So it's definitely going to be interesting to see if people are going to film themselves playing the game while using the Kinect or the touchpad on the PS4. So.
Wow! Like, is it like voice commands or is it motion control?
Yeah, so we've got so the Xbox One, you can control your character through voice and movement as well, and. And on the PS4 touchpad, you can control your character's powers as well. So yeah, it's little touches, little extras like that that are making the game stand out a bit more than its predecessor.
That's pretty neat. Not many people are still putting effort into utilizing the Kinect, so I'm eager to see what kind of Kinect additions there are to the game and how well they work.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's looking forward to what people are going to think about it and play it, and so hopefully they'll love it.
Man, that's, you guys, seriously, you guys are just killing it this year. I know earlier this year there was a stretch where you released Anima, Heart and Slash, and Dex all like back to back to back, and you're doing it again now with, man, have you guys considered like splitting them up more?
I think we're getting better because we've got so many that we've signed. We're going to try and space them out a little bit more, but I think there's more and more coming that we're trying to get some, most of the games out before Christmas.
Makes sense.
Quite a difficult time for indie games during Christmas to be very visible, but that's my phone going off. So it's very difficult time for indie games to have to gain quite a bit of visibility during Christmas. So we've tried to get out as much out like in October and just to begin on November. So hopefully we can have a nice big marketing push and make them aware to people that they're available to buy.
Is Kieringa's Revenge the last game you guys have for this year? Is everything else set for next year then?
Kieringa's Revenge will be released on November the 11th for PS4 Boxed. So I have Xbox for digital as well.
Right, and anything else this year, or is that the final one for this year?
Final one, yes.
Man, that's still just a crazy, crazy lineup that you guys have.
Oh, no, I forget, actually. We possibly might have, we're still in talks with Santa Clara Games, who did Hassle Heart and 8 Days that we've published, that we might bring 8 Days to PS4 and Xbox as well. So we're just deciding on whether if we can bring it out in November or December. And we've also been speaking to Bite4 Games as well, the developer who did Demon's Crystals for on Steam. Hopefully we want to bring that to PS4 and Xbox One digitally as well. So maybe it might be released in November, end of November, December time.
Yeah, I was literally just about to ask about 8 Days, and you beat me to it. Yeah, that one looks really good as well. I saw the cover art for it, and then I looked at the screenshots. I'm like, that is not what I was expecting, but it looks cool.
Yes, it's one of those interesting games that I thought pixel art was dead, and then I saw that, and then I was looking on Steam and thought, there's a lot of pixel games out there that people obviously still want, and 8 Days is just a blast as well. Developer Santa Clara Games, they absolutely, they're so in love with this game. I'm in love with this game. As hard as nails as well, but it's one of those games that every time you die, right, I'm going to go back over, start again, I'm going to go back over this. I'm not going to finish it until, yeah, I'm not going to quit until I finish it. So it's a great game. It started off as just one level on Humble Bundle, and then we came across and Santa Clara made 4 more levels to it, and it's a brilliant story behind it as well, and another one of the games where you can play with a friend as well. It's just, it's hard as nails, but if you love top-down shooters, the 8-bit style, game's for you.
It has like an Ikari Warriors vibe to it.
Yes. So it will also have a free trial as well. So again, if you go onto the Badland Indie website, go on 8 Days, and if you're still on the fence about the game, you can download the free trial and play a free hour game, and I promise you'll fall in love with it.
Nice. That's one thing I like about Badland, is that your website, it not only has like information on the game, but it has little goodies like that, just like free demos that you could grab and download, some art samples, music samples. It's you're taking care of us. It's good stuff.
Good. Nice. I think from a marketing point of view, it was kind of important for myself to not just be a publisher that just puts information about our games just on there and then just directs people off to our website. I think for me personally, I wanted, like you say, give back to gamers. You know, gamers want content. Well, people want content. Free content, it's even better. So what we try to ask the developers, if they can provide any like wallpapers or art or music or anything that's going to make the game stand out. And so I can take that content and give it to you guys. And hopefully it's paying off. If you guys love all this free demos and music and art, if you do, just tweet us. It'd be nice.
I mean, you can't beat the price of free. That's always good.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, you can't argue with free 99.
Absolutely.
Oh man, and then on the publishing side of the bigger titles, like I had no idea that Badland handled stuff like WRC or Vermintide over in Europe. Like I know in America that stuff's handled with like Nordic Games or Focus Home Interactive, stuff like that. So
we deal with the distribution, so it'd be our headquarters in Madrid. But yes, so we deal with they deal with the distribution and also a bit of publishing as well from the headquarters. But for me personally, I head up the Badland Indie side from the UK office.
Yeah, it's just such a big company, and you guys are doing so much over there. So I got to know, what games are you playing right now?
Well, me personally?
Yep.
So I'm a bit of an old school person at the moment. I still have an Xbox 360. I haven't gone across to the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4 yet. I think every time I mention the Xbox One or PlayStation 4, my girlfriend just looks at me and gives me a long stare. Can we afford this?
Like, oh, I know that feeling.
But I think the great thing about the Xbox 360 for me at the moment is the Xbox Live Gold. And that's because I can get 2 free games a month. I'm absolutely loving it because I've got a whole backlog of games to play. And the one I've just been played recently and I've just finished is Dust, Elysian's Tale.
That's a good game.
Absolutely loving it. I've just completed it and I going back over trying to get all the achievements and that. I try to be a completionist, but it's a really, really good game.
that was a beautiful title as well.
There was another one called Battle Block Theater as well.
Yes.
I think it was by the same developer who did Castle Crashers as well.
Yep, the Behemoth, and they have Pit People coming out soon-ish, I hope.
Yes, I think so. Absolutely loving that developer. Absolutely loving the style and the game as well. So it's I've completed it, but it's one of those games that I can just go back in and just pick up and just play and absolutely love it. Yeah, yeah.
If you enjoyed them, I'm not sure if you've played it, but check out their game Alien Hominid as well.
Right, okay. Yes, I've heard of it. I haven't played it.
Yeah, that was their first title. It actually came out originally on GameCube and PS2, and then it got a re-release on Xbox 360 Arcade, back when they still had like a 50 meg download limit. Right. Remember those days when 50 meg was enough for a game?
Yes.
So yeah, if you haven't picked that one up yet, definitely do, because that's another fantastic game from them. And when you get an Xbox One, I think all of those games are playable on the Xbox One.
Yes, that's one of my arguments towards my girlfriend: backwards compatibility.
Hell yes. I love it.
Yeah.
And they've been adding so many good titles to that program as well. The fact that they just added Lost Odyssey, like, it made my year.
Yes. Yeah, just for me at the moment, it seems to be a lot of indie arcade games, a lot of pick-up-and-play games. I think at the moment I just haven't had the time to dedicate to a very like deep story. So what I tend to do is just go into a game, maybe like, I suppose Dust has a great story, but it's just great. You just pick up and play it and then just have a blast with it. Yes. Some great games like that.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of indies. People complain that there's too many indies coming out and, oh, it's another 2D platformer. Bring them on. You know, those kind of games were my childhood. I grew up with 2D platformers, so bring them on. Bring them all on. I'm ready.
And what's it matter to you in an indie game? Like characters, story?
Just being a fun, accessible experience. Tight controls have got to be good. I know a lot of people complain about pixel visuals, but visuals don't matter to me as long as the game is fun and entertaining. That's
absolutely.
If a game's not fun, it could be as pretty as anything in the world, and it's just, I don't know, dressing. It looks pretty, but there's no substance to it. It's a Kardashian.
I tell you what, the games I still have on my Xbox 360 and still playing is Bomberman and Perfect Dark. And you just, those games, just, I don't think they ever get old.
You can't beat classics.
It's classics.
Is there anything coming out that you're looking forward to, or are there any newer games that are coming out that you're like, yeah, that's, I need an Xbox One for that, or I need a PS4 for that?
In the past, I used to play a lot of Final Fantasy.
Mm.
Absolutely Final Fantasy. Unfortunately, with having an Xbox 360 and, you know, Xbox One, you don't get that choice of if a Final Fantasy game comes out. And absolutely loving the trailers of the new Final Fantasy coming out. I think it's, is it already out, or is it?
End of November, I believe. It was supposed to come out like a week or so ago, but it got delayed. Let me look here. November 29th.
Yes, it's one of those games I just think is on a different level. It's just so different from previous Final Fantasies, and the graphics, and I've managed to play a little bit of it, and I'm just so used to that turn-based RPG, and now it's just, yeah, just so different now. But unfortunately, it's on the PlayStation 4, so I...
No, it's on Xbox One as well, so...
Is that so?
Yep.
Oh, okay then. More of a reason to get Xbox One.
Yeah, like I said, I'm an Xbox One fan, so... I will defend that one till the end. Yeah, Final Fantasy 15. I have it pre-ordered on the Xbox One. So, yeah, that's definitely on there unless I'm about to be surprised in a month.
What about yourself?
Oh, man. I am excited for Gears of War, which is coming out technically tonight, since I'm picking up the Ultimate Edition version of the game. And then I'm super excited for the Skyrim remaster as well.
Right, yes.
I loved Skyrim. I am ready to lose another month of my life on that game. And hopefully that might be the game to finally pry me away from Forza Horizon 3, because I haven't been able to stop playing that.
Brilliant. I don't think I've ever played Skyrim, no.
Really?
So if we're going to get into Skyrim, I think that's going to be it. That's going to be the release.
Well, there you go. That one's coming out end of the month, 28th. Too much stuff coming out. Way too much stuff coming out. every year it just gets harder and more expensive and crazier, and all these indies aren't helping. You got Badland Indie is not helping with all the good games you're releasing. So this is entirely your fault.
Well, I'm sorry, not sorry.
It's a good problem to have, I guess.
Yeah.
So is there anything cool coming out next year that you can share with us?
Ooh, well, unfortunately, I can't really go into any specifics of what titles we are going to release, but we do. I've got a board in front of me. I've got all the names listed down. I'm just looking them right now, and it's a long list. It's
a long list.
And it's a good list. It's a good list. So,
how many? Give me a number. Like 10, 20, 400.
Well, we've got 11 at the moment, but more's being added. And I know more's going to be added as the weeks go on.
Nice.
And we're in October at the moment, so I'm sure there's going to be more.
I'm guessing there's going to be some good stuff for like maybe January, February, early in the year.
We have box exclusive for a particular game, for a very popular particular game.
You said an Xbox exclusive?
No, a boxed exclusive.
Oh, I thought you said Xbox exclusive. I wasn't sure.
No, but it will be made available for the Xbox as well.
That's good to hear. As long as it's coming to Xbox in some way, I'm happy.
A lot of our games on this list are games that have already been out and available to buy, but we're bringing them to either physical, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox Digital. Games that people already love and possibly have played. And some games on this list are people I haven't seen before. I haven't heard, some new developers. But they're absolutely great games as well that I've managed to have the privilege of playing as well. So it's a very exciting road ahead for indie games. And also for Badland games as well.
Yeah, and speaking of developers that many people may not have heard of, I do want to take this opportunity to give you guys a shout-out for hooking up with our very, very good friends at Sword Tech Games. I heard the news that you have signed Pixel Noir to Badland Games and Badland Indie, and I am thrilled at that news. As soon as I saw it posted that Sword Tech hooked up with Badland, I was like, yes! Yeah. that is amazing news. I am super proud of our friends Kunal, Len, Tim, Maximo, everyone over at Sword Tech, and I'm thrilled that you guys teamed up with them.
Yes. Like you said, Pixel Noir, great game. Unfortunately, I can't go into specifics of what we've got planned for it, but yes, that's one of the games. They found us out. one of the games on the list for next year.
Now, did they find you or did you find them? How did that work?
I honestly don't know. I believe it would probably be one of my colleagues from the sales team. Basically, what we tend to do is go for a meeting and present to them what we can do for them and what we can do for the game. As like a box edition, or how we can publish it even further, get more visibility for the game. So I believe we approached them.
Nice. And
it was quite a similar with Roll 7 with Oli Oli as well, where we approached them with an idea of how we want to do a physical version of their game. And the Roll 7 developers, the crazy guys that they are, listened to us, and then we had Oli Oli Epic Combo Edition. So I think with a back catalogue like that, and games that we've got coming out and we've already released, I think we've got a lot more developers knocking on our doors.
Yeah, we love the Roll 7 guys. We've actually had John Ribbons on the show twice now. He is absolutely insane, and I'm thrilled that he is out there making games. Do you have any plans on working with them for a physical version of Not a Hero?
I believe another publisher has that.
Shit.
yeah, my thoughts exactly. But we're great friends with Roll7, and you know we're more than happy to work with them in the future or any other games. But yeah, they're definitely a hot property at the moment. So yes.
Yeah, we loved Ollie on the show. I personally loved Not a Hero. That was just such a batshit insane, over-the-top crazy game. I think the humor in that reminded me a lot of the humor in Zenith, where it was just so offbeat and off the wall and goofy.
Yes.
And I think that's a great aspect to have in a game, is just humor and goofiness. And it reminds you that games are supposed to be fun. They don't Absolutely. All have to be pretentious visual spectacles that turn out to be fluff like No Man's Sky. They can be fun, goofy, crazy games that make you laugh.
Absolutely, yes. It's nice to have a serious game now and then, but you just, you know, now and then you just want to have a nice, fun game that you can just laugh off now and just have a great time with. And, you know, Ollie is that, one of those games. Zenith is one of those games. It's, you know.
And if you want the seriousness, get Dead Synchronicity.
Yes, if you want, please.
You have all the bases covered. Like, you don't need anything else but Badland games. And if you want a statue, you could import Anima.
Absolutely, yes. If you want a collector's edition with a statue, then get Anima. if you want to play a robot, you know, and find love, then you have Heart and Slash.
And the music in that game is ridiculously good. I love the music in Heart and Slash.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, another great soundtrack, which you can also get with the physical edition.
I'm telling you got to start bringing all these to America.
Yes, okay.
Or right. Just sell like a box set on your website so I could just get everything in one shot instead of having to make a bunch of different orders and hope that they ship to America.
I'll speak to the headquarters and see what they say.
It's the SML bundle. Oh, man. Andrew, I know it's been about an hour. It has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Like I said, I'm thrilled to finally get someone from Badland on the show. You guys have put out so many good games over the past year, and I am absolutely excited to see what next year brings.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me on the SML podcast. And yeah, it's just great to chat about Badland games, Badland Indie, our games, and just talk about games.
Indeed. Next year, when you have a bunch of titles for next year announced and ready to go, come back and talk to us about those as well.
We'll do, yes.
So let's definitely make this happen again. And do you have any final words to end this section of the show?
I think if your listeners out there want or love indie games, then definitely check out Badland Indie or badlandgames.com. If you love platformers, hack and slash, shooters, fun games, pick up and play, skateboarding games, you name it, we've got it. And I definitely recommend checking us out.
Sounds amazing.